Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, and many years in Hong Kong, observing the Chinese miracle of the People's Republic of China, now mourning the crushing of Hong Kong and its vitality by the People's Republic of China. We begin with an anecdote told to me by Josh Rogan of the Washington Post, writing Global Opinion, about Xi Jinping, the boss of the Chinese Communist Party and so-called president of China, though he's never had a vote in casting his name whatsoever, talking to the president of the United States, Mr. Biden, in La Paz, the capital of Peru, at the most recent APEC meeting, said she, "I have red lines," and one of them he listed was Hong Kong. "No human rights talk in Hong Kong. Leave it alone. Stay out of it, and we can do business." That's the anecdote. I don't know what Mr. Biden said. However, there is no change in policy towards Hong Kong since then, nor was there a policy that I could discern beforehand. Underway right now are trials of so-called Democrat troublemakers, condemned generally to 10 years in jail. They've served three. Also on trial in Hong Kong, a man named Jimmy Lai, an independently wealthy Hong Konger who holds a British passport, who was arrested and accused of talking to the Vice President of the United States, Mr. Pence, when he was visiting Hong Kong. That's the crime. He is in his 70s, as I am, and he has many years of good health ahead of him. However, he does have chronic conditions, and he's jailed in solitary because he talked to the Vice President. Mary, a very good evening to you. You're very familiar with Jimmy Lai, and you're very familiar with Hong Kong, having lived there for many years. Can we describe the, or characterize, or in some way present the policy of the Biden administration towards the crushing of Hong Kong? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, before we do, I just want to make one note about why Jimmy Lai is in prison. The conversation with Vice President Pence, or his conversations with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo or former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, these are but excuses. The real reason he's in jail is because the Chinese Communist Party can brook no dissent. And Jimmy is a huge threat to them because he's a very patriotic Chinese who supports freedom and does so peacefully. And that is just intolerable to a communist dictatorship. So that's why he's in jail. As for the Biden administration's stance on Hong Kong, it largely mirrored the Trump administration's stance, which is to caution against travel there, to engage sparingly, to issue statements about the plight of those who are political prisoners or wrongfully accused. And that's pretty much the extent of it. Unfortunately, the U.S. government's hands are somewhat tied by, you know, our laws. We already, I think, prohibit the sale of dual-use technology to Hong Kong. There was a question at one point about whether or not we would change the Hong Kong Monetary Authority's access to the U.S. Federal Reserve, because Hong Kong has its own separate currency apart from mainland China. and it's pegged to the dollar. It's called the Hong Kong dollar, and it maintains access to the Fed window. It's an oddity and certainly a point of debate, given that Hong Kong is now a part of mainland China. Why should they get special access to the Fed window? But really, the problem is not so much Hong Kong specifically. It's a larger problem of a totalitarian regime in Beijing that is paranoid, that can brook, as I've said before, no dissent, that oppresses its people, that is building a military that is aimed squarely at us, that is provocative and aggressive towards its neighbors, and that doesn't respect any kind of international treaty or promise that it makes to its people or internationally. It's a very, very big, broad challenge, and one that we're only beginning to grapple with.
I have read, or I've been told over these last days, that a reason to watch the Jimmy Lai trial and to understand how the People's Republic of China conducts its business in the world is that Beijing doesn't care what it looks like. Beijing is going to be brutal towards people who are not even Chinese citizens. Jimmy Lai is a British citizen. And that is a warning to Americans not to travel to Hong Kong, not to risk the fact that you're there on transparent business and negotiation. And in fact, you can be scooped up and used as either a hostage or a bargaining chip or brutalized in some fashion. Is that part of the warning that you gave out, Mary, during your time at the state?
Well, when I was working at the State Department in the first Trump administration, I had a real vigorous debate with the Consular Affairs Bureau that wanted to maintain its level of travel warning to Hong Kong. And, you know, the Department of East Asia and Pacific, which wanted to pretend that, you know, there were still some you know, semblance of freedom in Hong Kong. And they kept saying freedom is getting eroded. And I'd ask them, well, what freedom are you perceiving? Like, hey, the freedom is gone. Let's just admit it. And as far as, you know, the Consular Affairs Bureau, we need to warn Americans that it's not safe to go there. And eventually we got the travel warning, you know, edged up a notch. But I think it should be at the highest level because, as you say, Jimmy Lai committed no crime. He's been convicted already on trumped up charges. He's being held in a windowless cell for absolutely no reason. Solitary confinement is usually given out to a prisoner because they've done something wrong in the prison and they have to be removed from the general population. That wasn't Jimmy's case at all. And so it's No, maybe I should also add that we have many, many cases of dual citizen Chinese Americans who are detained on the mainland and are not allowed to leave. We very rarely talk about those cases. It's not a safe place to go. And Jimmy would often make the point that Hong Kong was important not just because of the snuffing out of freedom, but it was the first democratic society that communist China had conquered. And that is a very clear warning to the free world, because if they can do it to Hong Kong, they can do it to you. And certainly Taiwan is foremost in their sights. But you look at the aggressiveness toward the Philippines and, oh my gosh, I mean, we shouldn't have a conversation without China about also mentioning this massive hack of our telecommunications networks here in the United States. We're only now starting to get more details about the severity of that attack. And from what I can read in the newspapers, I don't have any special information. The Chinese seem to be able to not only listen to our phone calls and read our texts, but possibly read our emails as well. And if they're that deep into our telecommunications networks, our private networks, AT&T and the like, what else can they do? What's their intent? We don't know. But certainly a friendly nation wouldn't be doing things like this to us. France doesn't have a need to hack into, you know, FISA back doors. So this is Jimmy's warning. This is the nature of this regime is adversarial to us and our interests, and we need to start taking steps to contain them and to roll them back.
The designated Secretary of State is Marco Rubio, Senator from Florida. The designated National Security Advisor is Mike Waltz from Florida. Your measure, Mary, are, I'm told and I read, that they're very well informed about the aggression of the CCP and mean to challenge it wherever necessary. Is that consistent with your information?
Well, I think the former is certainly true. Marco Rubio has been the author of several courageous bills, including the Uyghur Forced Labor Act, which forces companies that do business in Xinjiang to prove that they're not using slave labor there. It was a remarkable thing to pass, and he did it with bipartisan support. He also has a personal history, of course, with communism because his parents fled Castro's Cuba. So he's certainly aware of the nature of this regime and the threat it poses. He served for many years on the Foreign Affairs Committee. And he's also very well advised. He has one advisor I'm thinking of in particular, who's an expert on China and Xinjiang, who's very close to him. So I think he walks into Foggy Bottom with a very deep understanding of the threat that we face. Mike Waltz, similarly, very esteemed member of the House. I was with him for several years on the Nixon seminar, talking about these kinds of challenges. He's very knowledgeable, well-spoken, well-briefed. I think he'll do an absolutely excellent job as national security advisor. Now, as to how much they'll be able to push back on China, that's going to depend, as in every administration, on the different factions that form within the cabinet. The Treasury, for instance, has always been more dovish toward Beijing than other agencies, simply by the incentive structure that it has. Now, that might change with Scott Bessent, if he gets confirmed, who was a very familiar with Asia and Japan, and also, I think, recognizes the China threat. But ultimately, it's the president of the United States who sets the foreign policy, John. And President Trump worked very hard to get a trade deal with Beijing in his first term. Beijing, wasted a lot of his time and then it didn't live up to its promises as usual. And then COVID happened and we offered assistance. And I think it was it was a wake up call to the president that, again, here's this regime that can't be trusted and can't be held accountable. And is its aggression only broadens and deepens. So it will be very interesting to see who really has the president's ear on matters like China policy and which direction it will take. I think it remains to be seen.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. I'm John Batt.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.